we sing that together without music. Everybody pause.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Let's stand up and pray together. Hallelujah. Beautiful Sunday in April. April. We made it to April. Look what God is doing. In January, you had problems. You had issues. You were praying for things. How am I going to get through the week? How am I going to this? How am I going to, where am I going? And here you are in the middle of April. Amen. I think God's working, don't you? All your prayers been answered? No. Amen. God plans it that way. If he answered all your prayers, then what? Hallelujah. Let's pray to our Father who art in heaven. Ready? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Be seated, everybody. You know what's, it's not funny, but you know what's strange? When Jesus gave us that prayer, he didn't necessarily mean that we should pray that prayer exactly like he, because the prayer is an outline. First you acknowledge who our Father is, amen, and then you can go down the line, and God has it in the right order that we should pray in that way, amen. And then we get to the end, and some people say thine is the kingdom and the power, and some people don't, and some people who don't think the ones that do are wrong, and the ones that do, that the other ones are don't are wrong, and it's silly, amen. It's silly. Here, brothers and sisters, you're not supposed to say that. Well, wait a minute. Is his kingdom forever? Yeah. Is the power forever? Yes. So why can't we say it? Well, because we don't say it that way. I said, well, either did Jesus, amen. He gave us an outline to pray to his Father, amen. But isn't it funny that brothers and sisters in the Lord will have a disagreement about something like that? So it's pretty easy to understand why the world's in disarray, amen. Are you with me? We're going to have a prayer. I need another bulletin, honey. I think I left mine down there. We're going to have our last Wednesday night is going to be a prayer meeting, a prayer night.
Nice set.
Thank you, dear. Thank you very much. I want you to know that there's only one person who heals. Who's that? God. Amen. So this isn't a healing service. I know people are a little confused. Is it a healing service? No. We're going to pray for one another. Because the Bible says, I wrote it right down here, pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible says. And we're supposed to pray for who? One another. And as we pray for one another, who hears our prayers? And as we agree together in prayer for things in our lives, who answers our prayers? God. Amen. Now, I said last week that some people have a special anointing, like to pray to stop the rain or weather or whatever. Or I knew somebody whose anointing was to put her hands on some woman who wanted a baby that couldn't have a baby. And a year later, they conceived. And I have a witness. Elder Patton and Tom are my witness. But when we pray this night, it's simply to pray together for things going on in our lives. Amen. Each one has a certain prayer. Other people have things on their hearts. I know I do. Amen. And I just want you to know that it's going to be a beautiful night because it's going to be free. Amen. And we're going to be talking to who? And we're going to be in one accord, as the Bible says, as Paul said, as I read. We're going to be believing. And we have an elder. The Bible says, go to the elders of the church and pray. We have an elder. You go to her and you pray, and she will pray with all her spirit, with all that God has anointed her to pray for. Amen? To help you through that prayer. Because I wrote this down. Prayer changes two things. Two things right off the bat, Karen, to pray. First of all, prayer changes you. Amen? Because you're taking your eyes off the problem and giving to God. And then your prayer changes others. Amen? And so what we're going to do in this prayer night is we're going to have people get in groups, little groups together and pray together. And we're going to have testimonies. And I'm going to pick on Deacon Chuck because Deacon Chuck and I have this testimony. And if there's two agreeing together, now some folks think, well, if there's just trouble in the church. No, we're agreeing together for something of the church. Amen? And Chuck and I have been, since day one, we want this church to be a beacon, right, Deacon? That's what you and I have. I mean, that was been our heart. For everybody else, it's wonderful. We want healings. We want all the blessings. But you and I have said we want to see this church shine for the Lord. It was a dream that you had, and when I came here, it was my dream. And so Deacon Chuck is going to give that testimony that prayer. So you're going to hear him say that from his heart, that his prayer is to see this church that he loves become alive. And as he looks out and sees everybody, who I hope you all be here and bring friends with you, you're going to see that prayer works. And we have three or four other people that are going to give testimonies. And not great testimonies, not miracles where you say, oh, I got to pray. I'm talking about testimonies where they needed a prayer answered and God answered the prayer. Amen? So that when you start, and maybe it'd be a good idea if you just at home write down two or three prayers that you have. You write them down so we can pray together. You just write down what you want God to hear. And I bet you if you write three of them, two of them won't be about you. It'll be about somebody else. Because you want to help somebody else. You want to heal somebody else. You want somebody else to be healed. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The first prayers you're going to have, I guarantee you. Now, I pray for my son every day. I haven't talked to my son in a year, almost a year now. More. He doesn't even have a telephone one. And I don't know where he's working, what he's doing, but I my heart prays for him, thinks about him every day, that he's safe, whether he is or not. I don't know, but I put him in God's control. Because if I worried about him, I would be no good to you. Amen? I would be no good to my bride. I would be no good to my friends and my family if I worried about those kind of things. And I know you have prayers like that, and even more intense prayers like that. But if you let them get to you, if you worry about them, then you get sick. Amen? So I pray every day that Matthew is doing well. Matthew's working. And evidently he's working because the only time I hear from him is?
We need them.
Hallelujah. So that's what the prayer night's going to be, because we believe in this church and we need you to have a place to come. Amen. You have Stop and Shop when you want your groceries. Amen. You got the dentist when you need some dental work. Amen. You got the eye doctor when you need eye doctor work. Amen. When you need prayers, where do you go? You come right here, and we're going to pray with you. Amen? And I promise you it'll be a powerful night, because it won't be us, it'll be God. Amen? The peace that surpasses understanding will enter your spirit if you allow it to. And it will change your life again. Amen? And then, Deacon Chuck, this beacon will get just a little bit brighter. Can you give him praise, church? Give God praise. You look up prayer in the Bible in my concordance, and there's probably 500 times the word prayer is in the Bible. Another 500 times prayed is in the Bible. So it's a very important word. Let's read together Psalm 51, which is probably my favorite psalm. I've told you many times that this is the most powerful of psalms that David wrote right after he committed those sins. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
He asks for forgiveness. And then he says, first I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
Against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you be found guilty and blameless when you judge.
He took the blame off of God. He took it and said, no, you, Lord, I'm the one that sinned. I love you, and people know that I love you, but you didn't sin, I sinned. He said, so against you I have sinned. And he said, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Hallelujah. Then he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me your joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice.
He's already asking for a favor. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities.
Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Hallelujah. He's asking God for favors. The beginning of the prayer, oh Lord, I've sinned. And the end of the prayer, Lord, do this and do that for me. Amen. That's David writing that. Hallelujah. And you read the Bible. You just read the Bible. Amen. Doesn't that, I mean, prayer works. Are you with me? Are you going to pray with us on that? I hope you all come and bring friends with you, because they got plenty places to go for other things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. Now, two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, oh, my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was still in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, the one said, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but you're the son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is the mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Hallelujah. Anybody hear that story before? I love that story. We were meant to live in a, I hope I say this right, Dominic, in a theocracy. Hallelujah. Thank you. Which simply means that we recognize God as our supreme leader. Amen. Not a religion. It's not a religion. Don't let the religions of the world get in the way. We just, Sergio, acknowledge that God is our supreme being. Our divine guidance comes from who? God's anointed, not a people's choice. Amen. And that's how God intended for us to live. And that's how God intended for his believers, those who believe in him, to live. To just live, and somebody would be anointed and rule justly as Solomon did. Amen. Solomon had justice from God. He had the wisdom from who? How many see the world in a different way today? I know Marcia does because she already talked to me about it. Hey, amen. And you look around today and you think things can't get worse. But we forget Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. We forget all the things the Bible teaches. And you wonder, how could God allow this? How could God allow that to happen over in that country and in this country? You're about to find out. Hallelujah. Now it came to pass, and I'm reading 1 Samuel 8, Dominic. Now it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Stay with me on that one. The name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gains, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways." Samuel was anointed by who? Samuel. Was his children? So what did they do? They stole, they took for themselves. It's like me saying that my son that I haven't heard from in months, I would say, okay, I can't be here next week. My son's coming to give it because he's my son, and well, he's going to come and give the word next week. Amen. How would that work out? Not too good. Amen. So you understand, you know, just because one is called, he chose his son. God never told him to put his sons in charge. Amen. And they said, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways." And they said this to them, one sentence: "Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." We are his people, amen. We are not all the nations, amen. But they looked around, and they saw all the other nations had a king. And they said, "Look, make us a king to judge us," amen. Who's going to judge them? Not God. Hallelujah, you're with me. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. How did this happen? How does God allow this? And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." And God says, "According to all the works which they have done since the day I have brought them out of Egypt, even to this day which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now therefore, heed their voice. However," say that with me, "however, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. Please don't get political right now. Don't look at the United States of America. I'm talking about look at the world, amen? Look at the whole world. Look at the people who are ruling the world. Look at the people ruling the countries. Yeah, you can look at our country also and people who are in power, amen? People who are elected officials and all. You can look at that. But don't govern this by religion, by whatever religion, and don't govern this by here. I want you to see it as the whole world, because what Marcia's saying is the whole world is in disarray. And so try to look at it that way and not get too caught up in a personal thing. Are you with me? He said, "Now therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them, all the world, not the believers." So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people, and he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands, and captains over his fifties. He will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. 17. Listen to one. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. Amen. How did it happen? How could God allow it? He had no part in it. Amen. They want a king. He's telling them what the king's going to do. You look around the world. Is this not true? Hallelujah. And then he says, you will cry out in that day because of your king who you have chosen for yourself, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, 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 but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, to be judged by man, and that our king shall judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them to the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. Make them a king. Heed their voice. How did this happen? How could God allow this? He had no part in it. Amen? Sometimes bad things happen and people blame God. He had no part in it, Sergio. He warned those people what would happen. And you look around the world at people who rule those countries and those places, and you don't see that? You look at the people living in poverty, and then you look at the people that have, living in the finest of places, eating the finest of food, while their people live on dirt roads and in dirt houses. Amen? You see that every day. He's talking. God is telling us we are not like all nations. If we follow him and he leads us and he's the one that we look to, things would be different in our life. Amen. We would be judged differently. We would be judged by God. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt. God is saying, I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians. And I delivered you from the hand of all the kingdoms and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, whom himself saved you from all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said to him, no, set a king over us. Now therefore present yourself before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. Thank you, Lord. Now Samuel said to all Israel, listen to this. This is beautiful. Indeed, I have heeded your voice and all that you have said to me and have made a king over you. Every time we remove God from something, something else fills it. Amen? Every time we remove God from school, something else fills it. Every time you remove God from your house, something else fills it. Every time you remove God from your thoughts, something else fills it. Amen? And the thing that fills it is not God. The thing that fills it is not peace. It is not joy. It is not comfort, Sergio. Everything that fills it will be confusion. Amen? And that's what's happening. Hallelujah. And Samuel says, and now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. And Samuel says to the people, now listen to what he's saying. Here I am. Samuel says, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe? Any bribe with which to blind my eyes? Don't get in politics now, please. Hallelujah. I will restore it to you. Whom have I oppressed, or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you. And they said, you have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. Then he said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. Then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron, and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. I know, folks, brothers and sisters, I know Gary, I know it's hard to think of Moses and hard to think of Egypt and hard to think of these things in the Old Testament because they're so far away from us. Took thousands of years that you think so much has passed that God doesn't hear, but He hears every single day. God, the God that we love, is alive and well in our lives. Amen. He's alive and well helping us today. But because the world has traveled, you got highways and airplanes and jet planes and we're going in space, that you think, oh, God must have, that's it. We're all, everything we have now, we know how to do. We don't need God anymore. Amen. God is still working today, Miss Pat. God is still on the job today. When you call on this God, He answers you. Amen. He loves you. This God has forgiven you. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you. Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. Now, therefore, stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which He did to you and your fathers. When Jacob had gone into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, He sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, in the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, and He said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Bedan, Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety. Greg, he's saying, every time you sinned and you fell in despair, when you stopped and realized that they sinned and they called upon the Lord delivered them. Amen. He wasn't forsaking them, but He waited for them to call. Are you with me? Everything was happening. All the bad things were happening, Marshall. All these, and when the world stopped, when they stopped and said, look, we've sinned, we need the Lord. Guess what happened, Sergio? The Lord came and delivered them. Amen. Time and time again. Hallelujah. When they forgot the Lord their God, He sold them. And then when they remembered, God sent people and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side. How many sides? Every side. And you dwelt in safety. And when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us. When the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, here is the king who we have chosen and whom you have desired. Who desired it? You have. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? Samuel said, I will call to the Lord, and He will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, and asking a king for yourselves. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. You think that's what we need today? God send that? I don't know. We just need to have people believe. We need to have people be strong in the Lord. We need to have people talk about God. We need to have people believe this God, have faith in God, tell others about God. We need to have a prayer night where other people talk to God, and we need to have testimonies about what God's doing in your life so that you can tell people who would never believe me because they know you. Amen? You can reach people that I can't. Each and every one of you can reach people I can't. We need to spread that word, but you can't do it but word alone. You have to have a testimony. You have to be able to show them what God is doing for you. Amen? But we can do that together. That's how we change things. Hallelujah. Samuel called to the Lord. The Lord sent the thunder and the rain. And all the people said to Samuel, listen to what they said. Please listen. Pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves. Then Samuel said to the people, thank you, Lord. Samuel said to the people, who do we serve? We serve a loving God, a forgiving God, How many times? 7 times 7. 70 times 70. How many times does God have to forgive you in a day? He doesn't matter. He forgives you. Amen? Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this. You have done all this wickedness. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside." Listen to what happened. "Do not turn aside, for then you will go after empty things, which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord your God will not," say that, "not, the Lord your God will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me," Samuel says, "far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Far be it from me," Samuel says, "that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Samuel is saying, if I stop praying for you, it is a sin in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. How much heart? For consider what great things he has done for you. It pleased the Lord to make you his people. Sergio, you please him. You might have a friend or two that you don't please, but they won't give you anything anyway, even if you did please them. The rewards from them would be zero. When you please God, the rewards are endless. For you to be stronger, for you to have peace and joy, for this family, the people love you here, my friend. I just have to tell you that they absolutely love you. You try to please others, and you get no reward. When you please God, he opens up blessings on everyone. When God answers a prayer for one, we all receive. Amen? When somebody gets a testimony and they share it, that means we all can share in that testimony, because there'll be a time when he'll answer your prayer and you want to stand up and shout about what God did for you, and everybody else will just say yes, the testimony of amen. Amen. That's God. That's our God. It pleases the Lord to make you his people. So Marcia, and all that you see, let it go. Absolutely let it go. What we can't fix, we don't need to look at. We ask God to fix it, and then we do and touch the people that God puts in our path. And that way we're stronger. Amen? That way our bodies are stronger. That way this church becomes so bright that even with the doors closed, the light's going to shine out. And I believe it. I need people to believe with me. I know Deacon Chuck believes with me. Elder Pat believes. But I believe that we do this according to the Lord. And your life, you do that, that as you enter this church, the light will shine out. Amen? You are the light. We want this church is just a building. You are the light. You understand? He is pleased to call us his people. He's pleased to answer your prayer. He is pleased when his brothers and sisters come together and we pray and we lift one up another and we sing praises to his name. You wonder, how could God allow all the things in the world to happen? And you see, he had nothing to do with it, Greg. Nothing. Nothing to do with those countries living in poverty. Nothing to do with the injustice. Whatever you think, nothing to do with it, because he had nothing to do to build it. They built it with their own hands, with their own kings. But when God builds something, when we stand with God, look what he does. Look what he does in your life. And what's the final word? Let me read one more time. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. Just look back and see how he got you to today. And I know that I'll hear from my son. I know that God's got his hand on him and his eyes on him. And that's my prayer. And that's what keeps me just not even worrying about it. Amen? Not even worrying, because I have to put God in that place. And the more you put God in those places, the stronger you are to enjoy the blessings that he has. Give him praise, because that's your God. Hallelujah.
I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me.
Children, praying for grandchildren,
praying for jobs, praying for...
You're praying, but God knows even more than I do. He knows every situation. He knows the timing. He knows where you're standing. Trust Him. Have faith in Him. Sometimes rest in Him. That's God. He will give you the rest, and He will answer your prayers. And when you realize that, you'll just say, I just wish I hadn't spent so much time worried. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Say on Sunday so often that this may be the closest time that you are to God all day, all week, as we simply remember what Jesus did for us on that cross. We live in the covenant of grace. That means we live in His grace for what He did for us. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything to earn it, but He did it freely for us. And He simply asked that we do this in remembrance of Him as He blessed and broke that bread that day and told His disciples, this is My body being torn for you. And do this remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, deacons. Healing begins in the peace that you have with the Lord. Healing begins when you let the stress and the worries go. Your body begins to heal. Your arms begin to heal. Your muscles begin to heal. And you feel stronger at that peace because of what Jesus did for us. Do this in remembrance of Him. Took the wine, poured it into a cup, and said, this is My blood being shed for you. Now, some churches don't add what Matthew says for the remission of your sins, but I think that's pretty important. So simply want to say, He said, for the remission of your sins, His blood. We are covered in the blood of Christ. When they look down, when God looks down, He sees you covered in the blood of Christ. He does not see the sin. He sees you, His child. And He just wants us to do this in remembrance of Him. He simply wants you to do this in remembrance of Him. Take the next minute and a half just to talk to God. Find that peace. Find that strength. Ask Him to forgive you of the iniquities. Ask Him to show you. Ask Him to prove His word that acknowledges that you're calling on Him and you're looking at Him to answer. You just give Him that chance.